Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I think it is a wake-up call to get going and get these projects going. Sometimes people want to stall and they think that opportunity is going to be there forever. That's not true.
Atlantic Yards and Hudson Yards. One is now planned to be rising while the other may be falling. That was Mayor Bloomberg announcing a multi-tower Atlantic Hudson Yards development, a billion-dollar development plan for the far west side of Midtown yesterday, the same place where Mayor Bloomberg once wanted his West Side Stadium. The developers of the controversial Atlantic Yards project in Prospect Heights, Brooklyn, meanwhile, say they'll have to scale back their grand vision of apartment and office towers plus a stadium for the Nets, at least for now, because of the housing downturn and the credit crunch. It's politicians and developers playing in the two yards. To begin our program this morning, with me, Greg David, editor of Crane's New York Business, and WNYC economic development and transportation correspondent, Matt Sherman. Welcome back to WNYC, Greg, and hi, Matt.
Thanks very much for having me.
Hi, Brian.
Let's do Atlantic Yards first. Greg, how much trouble is that development now in?
Well, you know, you use the phrase scaled back, and I don't think that's the right phrase. I think delayed is the right phrase. Bruce Radner said what I think has been self-evident for some time, and that is that he can't build the commercial tower without a tenant, and you can't get a tenant at the moment. And because of the credit crisis, the residential build-out's going to take longer. How much longer, we don't know, because, of course, we don't know how much the trouble the economy is in. But there's enormous reason for him to go ahead with the arena, which is the beginning and centerpiece of that development. And if he doesn't go ahead with the arena, it doesn't make any sense for him to continue to own the New York Nets. So that part of the project does, at the moment at least, appear to be on track.
Yeah, Matt, I had said scale back at least for now. So is that pretty much what Ratner is saying? Is that your understanding, same as Greg, or is it going to be perhaps a permanent diminution of this plan?
It's really a question of what gets built when, I think. It's possible in the long run that he will scale back. He hasn't announced anything quite to that extreme, but he's basically saying we're going ahead with the arena, and then we're going to tackle the next phase of buildings. And interestingly enough, the state seems to be fine with that, agreed to push back the deadlines on the arena as far back as 2015, believe it or not. And didn't really set a deadline for the entire completion of the project.
Now, Greg, the plan was sold partly on the basis of all the affordable housing it would include. How much is that in jeopardy and for how long?
Well, the answer is the entire affordable housing program that's underway in the city at the moment is dependent on a good market because it's based on inclusionary zoning. The more private developers get to build, the more affordable housing they get to do. So if we can't build private market rate housing, we can't build affordable housing, and that's just the way it is. But I'd ask you, the inherent in your question is, what's the alternative? And it's not like there are hundreds of millions of dollars in federal or state or local money to build the affordable housing. The economic cycle has turned in New York and around the country. The rest of the country is in a pretty difficult recession already. I think hard times are coming to New York, and when that happens, people have to scale back. And we are in a cycle, and the problem is we don't know how long it will last. But if we come out of this cycle with any kind of the momentum that we saw, say, in the last 3 or 4 years, then these projects will get restarted again. And they will get restarted rather quickly because the approvals are in place, the plans are in place, and they will be ready to go when economic conditions improve.
Matt, Greg asks, what's the alternative, which I think implies, well, maybe no affordable housing can get built right now. I know Errol Lewis has a column in the Daily News today where he advocates more being done to preserve Mitchell-Lama housing at the old Mitchell-Lama rents, changing the law to give the city more control over its rent stabilization program. So many apartments under the current vacancy decontrol law are leaving the rent stabilization system. So there are things that the government can do if it decides to do them for affordable housing. So with respect to Atlantic Yards, do you think that the whole thing becomes politically threatened because opponents of the development will say, look, you promised affordable housing, now you're not going to develop affordable housing, so government, take back your approvals.
It's not politically threatened at this point, just because the political support for Atlantic Yards was so overwhelming that even if you hit a few bumps in the road like this, it's really going to be hard to bring the opposition to bear. Certainly one of the things the opposition has said all along is don't give this all this 22-acre site to one developer in case one developer has a little bit of problems. There was about two-thirds of this site that's actually on terra firma, not over the rail yards. And, you know, just to remind listeners, this is the rail yards in Brooklyn. And that consists of buildings that are being torn down or will be torn down, and maybe piecemeal, one developer by one, could have actually rejuvenated that area more quickly than Bruce Ratner will do. That's the big question, I think.
But at the moment, no developer could get financing, and I think that's the issue. What we are in is a credit crisis where the strongest companies that exist can't get credit. So there's actually no reason to think that the alternative proposal would be any better at the moment. It's not that Forest City Ratner is in difficulty and everyone else is thriving. It's that no one can get access to credit for any kind of speculative building.
We're talking about politicians and developers playing in the yards, Atlantic Yards and Hudson Yards, with WNYC Economic Development reporter Matt Sherman and Greg David, editor of Crane's New York Business. And Matt, tell us about the brand new Hudson Yards proposal. First, let's start really basic here. What are the blocks on the west side of Manhattan that we're talking about?
We're talking about 10th Avenue to 12th Avenue between 30th and 33rd Streets, two big super blocks that are currently the Long Island Railroads. So it's a open trench there as it is, and the developer, who was named yesterday by the MTA, Tishman Speyer, a very well-known, well-capitalized developer with buildings all over the world. They bought Stuyvesant Town, Peter Cooper Village last a couple years ago. They own Rockefeller Center, Chrysler Building. They were chosen to be the developer there.
Greg, what's going to go there?
Well, the Tishman Speyer plan is based on a mixed-use project that emphasizes commercial office development. It also includes this spectacular plan for a recreation or New York interpretation of the Spanish Steps, which are the famous attraction in Rome. And what it's going to go is a series of office buildings and apartments, some of which will be affordable, that is designed to do two things: create a vibrant new neighborhood and extend the Midtown Business District all the way to the Hudson River. And I think that's the crucial point. Three times in the last three decades, the New York economy has expanded in boom times and peaked at a little more than 3.7 million jobs. Now, the reason we've peaked, yes, economic cycles have something to do with it, but we have peaked because, frankly, we have exceeded the available office space in the city. And if we don't expand the business district, and Midtown is the best place to expand it, the city's economy will never be able to grow higher than this ceiling we seem to have imposed on itself. And the basic rationale for developing the Far West Side, going back to a report Senator Schumer did at the turn of the century, to all the work that was done in the rezoning of Hudson Yards, is to create an extension to the west of the Midtown business district, so the New York economy can grow beyond the self-imposed ceiling we've created for it.
How different, Matt, is this new proposal from the mayor's original vision of a lot of development plus a West Side Stadium from a few years ago?
Well, it's quite a bit different. The whole western half of Tishman Speyer's plan is devoted to open space, office buildings, residential buildings. I think the school is going over there as well. And, of course, the mayor wanted a major football stadium there as well. The eastern half, by the way, will pretty much stay the same whether or not the stadium would have gone through or not. But certainly this new plan will extend, will get rid of any sort of sports facility, and will extend that vision all the way to the river.
And Greg, do you expect political opposition to this, and would it come from different quarters than those where the opposition to the stadium came from?
Well, look, there's no doubt that the community would prefer residential more heavily residential project, or at least people who say they speak for the community. But I think you have to remember a little bit of the history from a year ago. The guidelines that were created for the development of this site were done so with the intensive participation of City Council Speaker Christine Quinn. Indeed, the whole process was held up for more than a month while her demands were incorporated and she was brought on board. So the community wants more housing. Look, there will be more housing in it. But Christine Quinn is committed to some version of the current plan. And if she really wants to be mayor, she's going to have to show that she can provide mayoral leadership. And I think it's going to be on her shoulders to take this plan, more or less, through the approval process and win City Council approval for it.
That is her City Council district. And
yes.
So she's not just acting as speaker here, but as a representative of the people who elected her. And in that capacity, before she was speaker, she was a big opponent of the Westside Stadium-based development plan.
But not of this plan. She signed on to the parameters when the RFP was drawn up. And she didn't make much to do about that yesterday, but I think that's pretty clear. And if she wants to run, as you know, her plan to run for mayor is as Michael Bloomberg's rightful successor. Well, if she can't get a plan through that Tishman Speyer's on board of, I think her claim to be Bloomberg's rightful successor will be greatly tarnished.
Any political analysis of Christine Quinn's role from you, Matt?
I agree with Greg. Christine Quinn may have received a little bit of backlash last year because, in a way, she sort of rezoned the western half of this site by herself without going through the city council by giving her sign off to it. And so now that it goes before the full council, that might come back to bite her a bit. But as Greg, as you point out, it's her district. She already won a little bit of affordable housing on this site. 20% of the rental units are supposed to be affordable. And she's trying to, I'm sure, push that number up a little bit, but she's not going to block this deal, I don't think.
Will the public pay for this, Matt?
The public won't pay for this at all, and that's another big difference between Hudson Yards and as currently envisioned and the stadium. The stadium, first of all, the MTA was only going to get $250 million for that parcel under the stadium, and then the city and the state were going to chip in $600 million to build the platform, or even more, because it turns out the platform would cost about $1 billion or $2 billion total. And under the current plan, the MTA is getting $1 billion and doesn't have to pay for the platform.
See, Brian, I think you really downplayed what the size of this project. You said it was a $1 billion deal. Well, the billion, actually $1.4 billion, is just what Tishman has promised to pay the MTA. Then there's $2 billion to build the platform, and then there's $8 billion, $10 billion, $12 billion to build out the site. So we are talking far and away the biggest development project seen in New York in forever.
You're right. So let me be clear about that. The $1 billion is the money that the MTA would get, right, for selling the land, basically, to Tishman Speyer, correct?
That's right.
Right, and we're talking about a dozen buildings, residential and commercial, at least it's as it's envisioned now. Now, we're almost out of time, but there are two articles about this project in the Times today, the Charles Bagley piece that says it may be years before anything actually gets built there, and the piece by their architecture critic, who thinks it's really ugly as it's designed. Do either of you? I don't know if either of you want to talk about, you know, the aesthetics of it. But does that become a matter of public debate? And do you both agree that this is a design in theory because economics just will not allow things to be built right now?
Clearly, it's a design. And the design's going to have to shift. As a matter of fact, as Tishman Speyer gets tenants for its major commercial buildings, they'll want some say in how the buildings look. I don't want to comment on the Times architecture critic except to say I've yet to read a story about anything he likes in New York. As for whether anything's going to be built in the near future, the markets look very bleak at the moment. The New York economy is headed to tough times. It will be a big lift. But there were three major companies interested in moving to this site. News Corp, whose business is thriving, Morgan Stanley, whose business may or may not be thriving, and Condé Nast, which is doing okay. One would presume that now that this project has been approved, one of them will be willing to be the pioneer mm-hmm. and get the site going.
Last thing, could the whole thing be blocked again by Sheldon Silver, who blocked the Westside Stadium? And the way I understood it at the time was not that he so much was opposed to the stadium. He didn't want this new cool office space in Midtown because he didn't want the competition with his district in Lower Manhattan. Matt, could that rear its head as a matter of politics again?
The nice thing about it taking 10, 20, maybe even 30 years to build out the West Side is that the World Trade Center redevelopment, I think by all expectations, will long be completed by then, and it won't be competing with Shelley Silver's district.
Greg David, editor of Crane's New York Business, and WNYC economic development and transportation reporter Matt Sherman, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Brian. Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in a minute. Congestion pricing countdown, 11 days to go. We'll discuss the role of taxis, as well as update you on the latest politics of the last 24 hours. Stay with us.